Houston's number one fantasy sports show. It's the Wagner Wire, presented by Audio Visual Consultations.
Two of the Wagner Wire, 104.9, 101.9 AM, 1260. You stream it live at hornfm.com. Let's give them a little bit of juice, Sammy. We're going to have Al Walsh jump on to give you all the green that you need in your pocket. That's right. It's the solid green, the D-O-double-G, the doggy dog. That's right, baby. We're going to bring him on Bayonne's own to bring you all the love, all the juice, all the news and nuggets that you need. That's right. But without further ado, we got to have a little bit of Sam Stash. We got Tom McKay. Thank God for Tom McKay and Audiovisual Consultations. We wouldn't be able to watch sports without Tom McKay and Audiovisual Consultations. He sponsors the show. He's the title sponsor at the top of the hour, AV Consultations. We'll give more shout out to the gods, the gift of the gods from the AV Consultations world. But further ado, Sam, well, Pika, take it away with the Sam Stash.
How's it going, boys?
It's good.
Pretty good.
Just trying to make a dramatic intro there for you, and you just came in. Hey, guys.
I can't help it. I sound like a 14-year-old boy.
No, you don't.
This is my voice.
But hope those cojones have dropped, though, Sammy.
They
boy.
Did. I hope not, bro. I got cheated.
Let me tell you something.
If they've already dropped, I got cheated.
You got a soothing voice, Sam.
Thank you.
What's on? All right, so we got to do the word, right?
Yeah. So I was gonna say. So we have.
We're two for two. Excuse me, real quick. But we over the past 2 weeks, we have hit the word.
Yeah,
you have. I've been proud of you boys.
We're gonna hit it again.
Should I be proud or disappointed when you hit the word? Is that like it's a good thing, right? Because that shows that I know you well.
Are we supposed to hit it? We're supposed to hit it.
Yeah, my hope is that you hit it, so that way I get to play my awesome little sounder that I made. But
because it also means if we hit it, it means that we're really thinking about where you're going with your story.
We're on point.
And we're really getting into the theme.
It just shows camaraderie because we all know each other so well that we're on the same wavelength. We know we're going to say a certain word eventually.
Great minds think alike.
But this week, I wanted to do something that I felt like, I don't know how I hadn't thought of it before. It's a celebration of masks, boys.
Masks.
These movies that we're talking about today all involve masks because I want to give a huge shout out to the people that are wearing their masks out
so,
there.
Like, the Cape Crusader.
See, I didn't want to go superheroes. I felt
okay,
like it was too,
that's
obvious.
Too obvious.
I felt
right.
like it
no,
was
I'm
too,
with
you
so
know,
like scary movies.
There's some scary movies in there. There's some funny movies. There's some weird movies. But I have four of my favorite masks.
Jason Voorhees.
Who?
Jason Voorhees, Friday the 13th.
Oh, he has a last name?
Yeah, bro.
I know he has
well,
a last
no,
name.
No, wait, isn't that, that's Halloween. That's
no,
Halloween.
No, that's Michael it, Myers.
No, I know. I'm saying the ch-ch-ch is Michael Myers.
That's Michael Myers.
I don't know, bro.
Sam, you might have to find
I don't know, bro.
You
might have to find these instrumentals.
That's just good producing right there.
Great producing.
We do have our secret word. We do have our secret word of the day that I need you boys to turn your stuff down. And so
turn down for what?
I don't think they can hear us anymore. All right, folks. Our secret word of the day is run.
Evan Ingram. I don't know if I'm going to play Evan Ingram.
Run. All right, I'm giving them the thumbs up. They're coming back.
We up?
I'm already coming out hot, Sammy. Face.
Nope.
We up?
Yep, you're up.
All right, what are we looking? We're looking for masks.
Yes, masks. Masks is our theme of the day. And our first
disguise.
One. Nope.
Flesh.
Nope. I don't think it's going to be that easy, but I think you will hit it. I'm pretty sure we'll get there at some point.
Knights in white satin.
our first movie of the day. You're good, bro. That's what we come here for. We come to Sam's stash
outburst.
For the wackiness.
Outburst.
Our first movie of the day, actually Wags guessed right off the bat, Friday the 13th.
Oh,
see, I still don't know, bro. Is that Michael Myers? Or can somebody text in, please,
Limerick
and tell
winner
us
says if, I'm correct.
Is it really? I got mixed. I'm stupid most of the time, so that doesn't surprise me that I was wrong.
Yo, Limerick, or whatever your name is, how can you even tell what he's doing? I can't even tell what Wags is even like.
You don't know the sound, bro?
It's the noise that's
maybe
made.
I just haven't seen Friday the 13th in a while. That's the one where... His
Crystal
mother
Lake.
Is a
yeah.
nut, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's the first one. Kill him, mommy. Get him, mommy. Oh, yeah. she's certified,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, mom's a nut.
To me, it's probably one of the most classic slasher movies of all time. It's got tons and tons of good old-fashioned
Kevin
horny...
Bacon is in it.
Yeah, bro. It's got tons and tons of good old-fashioned horny teenage murdering, right? Which is something that you need in every single slasher movie. The spree starts way back in 1958 when two counselors at Camp Crystal Lake specifically get murdered by an unknown assailant while trying to pork in an abandoned cabin. While this is happening, we're treated to some solid 80s gore throughout the movie.
What's pork?
You don't know porking?
Sex?
Porky? Yeah. Oh, porky! Gotcha!
Porking.
No, I just wanted you to explain it.
But we're treated to some solid 80s gore throughout the movie. You know, people getting strung up with arrows like that. Have y'all seen this movie? You've seen this movie before?
Yes, that's been a while.
That is one of my favorite kills in any movie, when the dude's just on the door stuck with arrows. That took so much work. That's the equivalent of, like, the velociraptors in Jurassic Park leaving the hand so
because,
it perfectly falls down.
Because after surfacing from Crystal Lake, Jason Voorhees is one hell of a shot with a crossbow.
Because the guy that he gets, he just sticks through the bed, remember?
Oh,
he just gets him in the neck with the one arrow.
That's Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he sticks Kevin Bacon with it. Which, honestly, I think it makes the movie funnier if you imagine that this Kevin Bacon is the same Kevin Bacon from Footloose, even though you know it's not. It just makes it a little better for me.
No, this
on the
is
inside.
The Kevin Bacon right outside of Animal House.
Ah, that is that Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, it could be any Kevin Bacon you want. That's
why they have 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
But obviously, eventually, we're treated to a reverse Psycho-style twist that, you know, basically tells you that, in fact, Jason was not the one committing all the murders. It was his mom. The whole damn time.
The entire time. And because she... go ahead. This is your part.
No, you're good. What were you going to say?
She's killing them. Her motive is because the two people that were having sex at Crystal Lake were not paying attention to Jason, and Jason drowned in the lake.
Because they were also banging in an abandoned
cabin. They were banging
cabin.
In an abandoned
one thing
cabin.
That I, one thing that's really realistic about this movie, there were no black people in this movie. Why? Because black people, we do not go camping.
Not at all.
Well,
we
a
don't
summer
go camping.
Camp.
For
not
this,
at all.
For this very reason. For this very
white
reason.
White people thing.
This is a white people thing. Well, yes, very realistic. I like it.
So, too, it...
What are you laughing at?
Because it's true.
You know, we're talking about Kevin Bacon, not Samuel Jackson getting slashed or anything. Like,
oh, but he's on a plane with some snakes.
Yeah. Well,
oh, yeah.
That's a... Yeah. We'll get to that another day, I'm sure.
So I also wanted to ask you boys, because it reminded me of one of my favorite things that came off of this franchise was Freddy versus Jason.
So bootleg.
It's so bad,
that's
but
one
it's
of the
so
most
good.
Bootleg things ever. Whose idea was it to say, okay, let's bring back all the badass movies and put them together, like the Predator versus Alien? That was during that era, wasn't it?
I think so. Yeah, when they were just having
people
just fight.
Yeah, just like, having like. Multiple,
that's just bad. That's just bad producing.
That's terrible.
That's just bad producing.
That's terrible. Yeah, well, Freddy versus Jason's awful.
The sad part, though, that I found out was apparently Freddy versus Jason is the highest grossing movie of either franchise.
Get
for,
out
like
of here.
Respectively.
Are you serious?
Highest grossing Nightmare on Elm Street movie, also highest grossing Friday the 13th movie. in the one.
I'm very disappointed.
I am too. There's such good movies in those franchises, man.
Because Freddy's Dead was actually my favorite Nightmare on Elm Street.
Which one's that? Is that the one?
Freddy 5, where he's actually in, he goes into a video game. They play Inagata Navita.
Oh.
They go back into, like, they have to go into the dream world. Well, they always got to go into the dream world
to kill
him.
Ain't no way a fifth movie of a franchise is the best movie.
I thought it was pretty decent. Scorcher 5, you know, just when you thought it was, who left the fridge
Your
open?
Your nerdar is just beaming in this room.
And check it out. One more nerdar right here. Another Easter egg. You have Kevin Bacon in the original Friday the 13th movie. What's the known name, big name time, big time, huge headline actor who was in the original Friday the 13th? Or excuse me, in the original Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, what's it? Oh my God, why can't I think of his name? Long hair, he's the one in all the Tim Burton movies. Yeah, he's in Tim Burton movies. What's his name? Jack Sparrow.
Jack Sparrow.
Yeah,
Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp is in the original, yep.
He was a pretty boy back then, bro.
He actually dies in the bed as well.
Yeah, he gets sucked into the bed.
Coincidentally. How about that? Yeah, he was in 21 Jump Street, the original 21 Jump Street,
yep,
with Peter DeLuise, Dom DeLuise's son.
Okay.
Back in the day. Absolutely.
All right, next up,
continue,
boys.
Continue, Sam, sorry.
Next up. No, you're all good. I'm telling you, that's what I love. I love it here. That's why. all right. So our next movie, Eyes Wide Shut. Have you boys ever seen Eyes Wide Shut?
God, this
is disturbing. Here comes the bootleg stuff, Sam.
Have you seen this?
No, I have not.
Oh.
Dude, this is not bootleg.
This is, remember, yeah, we'll talk about this on at the break.
So, Stanley Kubrick has directed some of the most insane, mind-effy, groundbreaking movies of our day.
You say that, but this stuff, like, I believe that this stuff in Eyes Wide Shut, like, I truly believe that this goes on far more than people think it does.
Oh,
they get into a movie because it's not just an idea that someone fabricates. You know what I mean? Like, this stuff happens, so it's, oh, let me put the... I'm not implying that Kubrick has been anything like that. Maybe he's heard stories.
Y'all didn't say my girl Nicole Kidman was in this thing.
Bro, she's naked in it. She's naked in the movie, bro.
Dude.
Sex scene, you see it all.
Wait a second.
With Tom?
Do we actually know it's her? Because she's masked.
No, she's not masked in the sex scene. Because that doesn't come till later.
It's such a disturbing movie. I think I've only seen it like once or twice.
This is easily my favorite Kubrick movie, and it's described as an erotic psychological drama that follows the exploits of your boy Tom Cruise and his wife Nicole Kidman. And this is, like I said, when she is in her prime. So this is some primo Nicole Kidman. Oh, yeah.
She's in her prime now.
She honestly, I don't know when she won't be in her prime. I'll give you that. Like, that's
aging like fine wine in the prime.
Yeah, bro. But our tale begins at a fancy rich people party where both of them get hit on by high-powered business people and supermodels alike.
Can I say something real quick?
Go ahead.
Virgilio. That's not the word of the day?
Nope.
That would have been the word. If you would have pulled that to do the Easter egg with. Oh.
I'm a little sad I didn't think of it, but.
Virgilio.
I think we'll get there. It's a fancy rich people party. They both get hit on by high-powered business people and supermodels. And eventually, through, you know, their talks of, oh, I almost cheated on you, this and that, it finally leads your boy Tom to a top-secret organization. Or, I guess I should say, organization, because it's an orgy, boys.
That's a bad dad joke. That's just a bad dad joke. That's worse than my dad jokes.
But it's. I thought of that one and I was like, dude, that makes the whole. I don't even care. We don't even have to do the rest of this, boys. That made it for me. But it, you know, costumes, masks, passwords are all required to get in, and. Big surprise, these secret organizations, even though you're in costume and all masked up, they got a way of knowing whether or not you're supposed to be there or not. And it does not go well for your boy Tom. I don't want to get too much into it, because like I said, this is
an insane
movie. But, you know, and Tom breaks some of his normal things in it. You know, he doesn't really run.
Does he run?
You are the man! Three weeks in a row!
Come on, man.
I was surprised we didn't get there sooner.
Where did you... Okay, so tell us why you chose Run.
Yeah, after the second time, it just becomes annoying.
All right, my bad. Tell us why you chose that word.
I knew somebody would ask about Tom.
Got you. You didn't say it.
Jogging
quickly. Yes, going moving faster than a walk.
Jogging. Okay. Cool. Right on. Okay. So Tom Cruise came up.
Yep. I assumed somebody would say it eventually. That's not even where I was going to go with that. But then Zay went right there. So
does he do that action? I'm trying to think.
Oh, he definitely walks.
I think he does. I think at one point he does that away from a
his arms.
Yeah, from a lady of the night. I think he's a little guilty, and so he's kind of trying to out that his thoughts and whatnot. But
is an escort a lady of the night?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I'm going with.
A high prestigious lady of the night.
Yeah. Oh, okay. God. But then, see, in the movie, too, the one that he almost gets with, you're shaking your head. No, don't spoil it.
No, I'm like, who is she?
That's dude. Well, because remember,
I'll have to look her up.
In the movie, he finds out the next day when he's going around, like, looking for the chick.
Right.
Her roommate's like, oh, yeah, you know, she found out this morning she's HIV positive.
Oh,
and
he
almost got with her, but then he felt bad, and so he didn't.
See, I thought. She was fine. She recovered from the OD.
Yeah.
But then he discovers that.
Yeah.
Roller coaster.
This movie.
Roller coaster.
It's
roller coaster.
It's heavy, bro. But like I said, Nicole Kidman gets naked, so you have to see it before you die. our next movie on the list, The Mask, boys.
Classic.
Right?
Cameron Diaz.
Cameron Diaz, damn right, dude. And this was when she was in her prime, too. She was fine as hell in this movie.
You keep saying all these women who were just starting their careers and how they were in their prime.
Like, she was, bro. Cameron Diaz has not...
This was literally like rookie year Cameron Diaz.
Cameron Diaz has not aged like Nicole Kidman.
I'm not one to judge women.
Yeah.
They're both beautiful.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
But, yeah, we'll talk about that off the
break. All right. But I feel like this is not the beginning of the end for Jim Carrey, but this is kind of, this is one of his worst movies.
Interesting.
This is kind of his repertoire. This was in his wheelhouse at the time. But
well,
we also didn't know how versatile he was. Either.
It definitely makes sense, and I feel like it's kind of riding on the coattails of like Roger Rabbit, because I feel like in the early 90s there was kind of a bunch of movies that started trying to incorporate cartoon elements into live action movies and stuff like that. But I feel like Jim Carrey was the perfect pick because he's the closest thing we have to a real life cartoon character, period.
Okay.
Like if there were somebody that were that exaggerated in everything they did, it's Jim Carrey. But so this movie takes us through the life of Stanley Ipkiss, who is played by Jim Carrey, a bank clerk who is infatuated with Tina, a young Carmen Diaz, a singer at a jazz club with a street-tough boyfriend who has absolutely no chance with her until he finds the mask, an ancient artifact when worn turns him into a strange, green, cartoonish anti-hero kind of character who's capable of manipulating reality itself. I can't really tell, too, if this movie was made for adults or kids.
See, that's weird because my mom used to show me this movie all the time as a child.
Right.
Like, I remember this movie vividly growing up and thinking, like, oh, okay, this is basically a kid's movie because my mom would show me all the time. But now that, you know, I'm a grown-ass man, it doesn't really seem like that was appropriate.
Well, are you thinking of Son of Mask, though? Because they made a sequel.
No, I'm definitely thinking
you're thinking of Jim Carrey Mask. All right. I'll give you that. Son of Mask was awful. Did you ever see that one?
I did not.
No.
Dude, it's so bad. This guy finds the mask. He gets with his wife, right? He wears the mask, gets with his wife, and ends up getting her pregnant. And because he did it while he was wearing the mask, the kid then takes on all the abilities of the mask. And it's pretty much as bad as you would think.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like with sequels,
you never know what you're gonna get.
You never know what you're gonna get with sequels.
Yeah.
It's some Look Who's Talking Now tier schlock for sure. But we're moving on to our next one, boys. This one, okay, so this is the last one on our list and probably the best one I got on here for our mask movies. The Purge.
Oh, what?
I haven't seen it.
Really?
The newest one?
I just did the original Purge.
Okay.
It's probably, I feel like, one of the more creative horror movies in recent memory. In 2014, a totalitarian political party is voted into office following a complete economic collapse of the United States. They immediately institute the titular purge, a night in which all crime is legal from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m., and literally anything goes. By 2022, the purge has not only turned the economy around, but has brought crime down to 1% of what it used to be, and has basically eliminated all unemployment. So, all of this brings us to James Sandin, who is played by Ethan Hawke, a Purge security system salesman, and his family. Purge night starts just like any other, and the security system goes up, the family disperses because they're, you know, your modern family, nobody's hanging out together. They're all in their own rooms doing their own things. Kids are doing, you know, on their phone, whatever. But they all disperse, and the night goes on as normal until a wounded man comes up on their front lawn, and the son of the family temporarily shuts down the security system and lets him in. Ethan Hawke obviously bitches him out for it. He's like, what the hell, kid? This is purge night, bro. You can't be doing stuff like this. And so eventually, after they let him in, he's not a bad guy, it turns out. He's luckily, you know, he's nice enough.
Yeah, he's a good guy, yeah.
But a heavily armed gang of masked up goons arrives on their front lawn asking for their kill back and threatening to come inside if they don't get it. At which point, Ethan Hawke reveals that their security system, the ones that his company sells, are really more for show. From anything serious, anything more than like some stray bullets or somebody trying to jingle your latches on your door, pretty much. So they decide not to sell out homeboy and face the onslaught. It doesn't go well, and Ethan Hawke gets shot, but luckily the neighborhood comes to the rescue. Kinda. They kill all the goons, but only because their real prize is that they wanted to kill the family that they feel unfairly profited off of all of them from their security systems that they sold them. So, like I said, it's a really, really fun watch. And I also, I kind of like the, dude, it's not good. I'm not saying it's good, but I'm saying it's fun to watch.
It's pretty dark.
It is dark.
It's a dark movie.
It's super dark movie, and all of them are. But it's why are you laughing at me?
Because it's just too real. It's too realistic.
That's why
I've never watched it. And every time my woman sees it, she always goes, "Nope, we're not watching that." Nope.
I think Eyes Wide Shut is the best movie on your list, but I mean, and I think that stuff in Eyes Wide Shut actually does happen so much more than we think. Like, it's so much more prevalent.
I feel you on that. I mean, I can't help but see
like, that is a real, I think that is people's real, call, like, that is their circle that they live in completely.
That's so creepy to me, bro.
It's like, elitist. It's elitism, man.
I can't.
See, y'all, we're going off.
That's where we're at. I'm telling you. I'll talk to you a little bit more about it. If these walls could talk. And now, another episode of If These Walls Could Talk. No, it was a good stash, Dan.
Thank you, boys.
I enjoyed it. Yeah, you just go from there to hey, good Sam stash. No, I do, man. I thought it was a great Sam stash. I love the mask theory. I love how we hit the word of the day again for the three times.
That's huge.
3 weeks in a row. We got it, baby. We got it.
We finally hit our stride.
We are firing on all cylinders, that's for sure. On the other side, don't go nowhere. We will have Al Walsh jump on to talk about all the green that you need to get in your pocket. It's the Wagner Wire on 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. Stream live at hornfm.com.
Now, back to the Wagner Wire.
Welcome back to the Wagner Wire on 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. You're streaming live at hornfm.com. We're going to go right to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline and welcome on our favorite guest, our obligatory go-to, Bayonne's own Al Walsh. He's got to give you all the lowdown and dirty for all the green that you need in your pocket. What's going on, Mr. Walsh? How you doing today?
Good. Nice little day here in Jersey. Going to have some outdoor gathering in the backyard and socially distance, of course.
Absolutely.
And watch all the games today. It's going to be fun.
So what do you think about, before we even get into a little bit of the gridiron action, you got anything going on for the seam heads, for the, you know, what's going down on the diamond?
Nothing yet, but of course, man, just, you know, follow me on Twitter, 148.Walsh. Obviously, it's been all football mode, but, you know, once the games get going, I will take a look. I will certainly say, you know, obviously momentum in the hands of the Dodgers right now. And, yeah, I kind of hope that they get it done. As a Phillies fan, you know, certainly don't want to see the Braves, you know, going into the World Series. And then we almost had that nightmare yesterday with the Astros coming back and taking it. So, Yeah, I would love to see the Dodgers. Got to take a look at a couple numbers, see what's going on. But yeah, again, just follow me on Twitter, and I'll probably post what I'm playing there later.
Again, we still don't know the probables yet for what the Dodgers are going to roll out, but you know, I'd like to see right exactly. I'd like to see Kershaw. Do you think they roll out Kershaw?
I would like to see him at some point. He's definitely got to redeem himself, and you know, redeem is a strong word.
Yeah, he's had a great journey coming up this year so far, going into the postseason. Yeah. You know, just one night he gets shelled. Not even
absolutely.
One night, one a couple of innings, just one inning he got shelled.
Yeah, you know, and you know, he got in a little bit of trouble there in the sixth in his last start, and you know, Davey Roberts didn't want to let him get out of it. It turned out to be the wrong move. So hopefully, you know, he doesn't give him a reason to get taken out today if it is him on the mound.
All right, brother. Well, let's go on to the gridiron here. What do you like?
Oh boy, tons to like today. Number one. So you, again, follow me on Twitter. Posted my best plays of the week on there. So
14A.Walsh is where you follow him. He's been telling you to follow him, but you got to give the tag. So 14A.Walsh, bro.
That's a great point. A great point. But yeah, so number one, I'm rolling with the Texans today over the Titans. So. Actually getting this one at +4, which I'm really excited about.
And just double-checking, Walsh, you're not pandering to the Texans crowd here. You really believe this.
After taking a shot at the Astros right there? No, definitely not. Why would I do that? But this is kind of a weird matchup, right? So interesting to note, Tennessee on short week games since, was it, 2013, 3-11 this team is. So not obviously not, you know, the Titans I think everybody's expecting to show up today. Don't forget, you know, they had that whirlwind week last week with all the COVID tests. Then they have to play Buffalo on Tuesday, turn around real quick short, and come back for this game. Interesting to note, ever since the Titans have had Mike Vrabel as their coach, Deshaun Watson has been just an absolutely amazing fantasy quarterback. Now, Deshaun Watson, just, you know, again, pandering to the crowd. He will be my DraftKings quarterback today in my lineup. So,
okay.
I just really like this matchup. Tennessee, you know, again, we look at them as this, you know, run first, happy to be on defense kind of team. Not the case, really. This is a team that could also put some points back coming up. I think this is going to be a big day for Deshaun Watson. You look at his, again, like as I was saying, against Rabel-led Titans teams. I mean, he nearly hit 30 in two of the three meetings in terms of DraftKings points, though. So definitely take a look at him. Unfortunately, if you're going to stack with Watson, it's tough because – you know, you got so many damn receivers that he can get the ball to, but Will Fuller's a guy that's popping up on the research.
You can get Cooks for 5,000 today, man.
Yeah, that was kind of a, that was kind of a misnomer last week. You know, he really hasn't been that great in the Texans offense. Texans had a couple guys injured last week, which kind of led to that. So I'm not, you know, I'm not fully relying on a big game from Cooks again. I think Fuller's the guy that I would pair up with Watson if you were doing that. Now, I'm rolling Watson out there naked in fantasy today, so hopefully it is a spread-around kind of day.
Right on. All right, so we got the Texans there. What about the Bengals and the Colts there? What do you think about this contest here? Colts got some of the top five defense in almost every category.
Absolutely. You know, they got one of the linebackers hurt, Johnson, for the Colts. I'm not really sure what his status is for today, so if he's out, you know, maybe not as dominating of performance, but I love the under in this game. So I'm getting this at 47 on the total. I think a lot of people will see it at 46. I really don't mind buying up an extra point. But the thing with this game is you're going to have two teams that are moving the ball very slowly. Now, while Cincinnati's run defense is not good at all, the Colts have surprisingly been very bad on the ground. Jonathan Taylor in particular, you know, taking over full duty ever since Marlon Mack went injured. But this is just not been, I guess, what Indy was expecting, you know, when they began the season. So, again, too, we know Phillip Rivers. He's not going to throw the ball down the field. It's going to be a lot of, you know, short arm throws and things of that nature. So I really love the under here. And then when we look at it on the other side, Joey Burrow is going to have an absolutely tough time in this game moving the football. Huge mismatch on the Indy D line to the Cincinnati O line. You know, my boy Joe Mixon in fantasy, he's certainly going to need a couple pass catches today to help my season long team out, because he sure as hell not going to get it done on the ground. So again, I just think that this is going to be a very slow, sort of methodical try to approach down the field each time. And I just definitely don't see this one going over 47 points.
Hey, can we take a step back real quick and go to the Houston-Tennessee game? I wanted to ask you a real quick matchup regarding Derrick Henry going up against the Texans defense. Now, they're 23rd allowing running backs to score, but you mentioned a great point. They got a quick turnaround. Do you think that still bodes okay for Derrick Henry?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, this guy's an absolute truck, right? I mean, that stiff RV late on Tuesday night, I think people are still feeling that one. But, yeah, he's one of the top backs in the league. I mean, I guess in a DFS perspective, I'm probably, you know, obviously I'm not, you know, putting him in my lineup. But, you know, obviously season long, you put him in there and, you take your, 15 points or whatever you're going to get. So, I think he'll be just fine this afternoon.
Falcons-Vikings here, Walsh. Some teams got to win, right? I mean, one of these teams. I guess they could tie, potentially. But, I mean, what do you think here between the battle of two what could be potential decent quarterbacks producing maybe 25 to 30-point ceilings here? They really have not lived up to much. You're looking at maybe 15 points on the average here for both quarterbacks.
Yeah, it's kind of disappointing to see that. But, this is definitely a game that, can help out the stats for both of these guys. And you go to us-odds.com. I threw up a couple prop bets this week. So I did it by position. And naturally, Kirk Cousins and Alexander Mattison found their way onto the list. So this is a big matchup for them. Now, I will say they're only favored by 4 points. It was 3.5 most of the week. So that is kind of scary. But if anything, I think that means we're going to see the over in this game because – Atlanta's defense has been so bad. Obviously, they're coming into this game, new head coach, new sort of regime. The Dan Quinn era is over. We've seen a couple teams in recent memory, fire their coach and then just have a very inspired performance the next week. So, it's tough, right? Cause Atlanta, they should have two wins by now, blowing these 15-point leads to the Cowboys and to the Bears in consecutive weeks. But I just think that this is going to be a pretty good game on offense. So if you certainly, you got your pieces in there, absolutely go grab them. Adam Thielen has been ridiculous the last 2 weeks. He's somebody I would have a piece of. And, it's funny, if you're playing FanDuel today, I saw that Alexander Mattison's price is, it's ridiculous. Like he's a free
it jumped up 3,000.
Yeah, but on DraftKings, I don't have him in my DraftKings lineup. So, I think that there's a couple guys out there that are better bang for the buck, if you will. Looking at some today, Madison, to pay off on that price tag of 7,000 on DraftKings, essentially he's got to get 30 points. And there's just some guys that are in some excellent spots today. So this could very well be more of a Kirk Cousins type game. Here's an interesting stat. So 4 of the 5 starting quarterbacks that have faced the Falcons this year have all thrown for over 300 yards. The only one that didn't was Mitch Trubisky. He threw for 130, but guess who replaced him that game? Nick Foles came in for 180. So combined, they got the 300. So 5 out of 5 teams that faced the Falcons this year have over 300 yards passing.
See, Walsh, this is like, it's bittersweet when you come on, brother. Like, you have nothing but the greatest. You got awesome info and great, just gouge that we have to dissect. But it really throws me off my game here because – I have rosters already lined up, and then I'm like, all right, what's another $5? I'll make another lineup. I like what Walsh is talking about here too. So, man, just all kinds of good, advice and information to dissect here, man. Keep laying it out here. Let's move on to we talked a little bit about Falcons and Vikings. How about Broncos and Patriots? Now it looks like Drew Lock is actually going to suit up and go. Do you think that makes anything more prevalent there for the Broncos offense, they're going to be without Melvin Gordon. Hello, Al. All right, we got Al. We lost a little bit of Al. We'll get Al back on the hook. But look, that's a new thing right now. That's a new developing story, right? Philip Lindsay in there. So is Drew Lock for the Denver Broncos. So I think that actually Broncos is going to have more of a high-powered offense to go against the I want to call them, they're still one of the best defenses in the league, the New England Patriots here. We'll see what Drew Lock can undress there for this Patriots defense. He mentioned the Falcons and the Vikings. I really like I think Kirk Cousins' matchup is going to be good, but another matchup that I like in this contest is Hayden Hurst. I think Hayden Hurst is going to be the tight end. I said it in the beginning of the year. I thought he was going to be the breakout tight end. You saw a little bit of the blemishes, a little bit of the glimpses there when he was with the Baltimore Ravens. I thought because he was with this Atlanta Falcons team, almost like what they had with Austin Hooper's day, I thought that Austin Hooper would, or excuse me, that Hayden Hurst would be able to repeat the same season that Austin Hooper had last year in this Falcons offense. But now you're seeing not much from anything out of this hot Atlanta team, which is kind of getting cold.
Yeah, and it's crazy because in the headlines you see, what are we going to do with Matt Ryan? Right. And to think about that is like ridiculous because this guy was an MVP like a few years ago. So now they're thinking about replacing him and talking about the next guy up for their franchise, which, hey, Matt Ryan's been in the league for a long time, so I could see that.
And no Dan Quinn, that their head coach got fired. He's relieved of his duties after the loss last week. About time, right? I don't know what the hell took him that long. But let's go back to the Vaqueros and Cafe. Or let's go back to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline to welcome back on Al Walsh. Kind of lost you there, buddy. You all right? You good?
Yes, yeah. Wait, you praise me and then you hang up on me? What the hell is that?
That's all.
What operation you're running over there?
That's all Sam right there. Sam's, you know what, I didn't like. I don't like the fact that that Walsh is a Bolts fan. You know, he should be a Capitals fan, so he hung up on you.
Oh, man. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, a couple of other games I wanted to get to as well. I have my own money on this already. Chicago Bears, plus 1.5. One note to look at, most of the week we had about 50-50 in terms of number of bets. That number is about 85% of the money coming in on the Bears, which is a good thing. It's kind of strange. Before the season started, the Bears were favored by 2.5 points in this game. Fast forward to this week. What the hell did the Panthers do to become 2.5-point favorites?
Is Robbie Anderson and DJ Moore, is this, you know, wide receiver tandem actually starting to emerge for Teddy B?
Could. The way that they're going to have to get it done, though, today, quick, short passes, because that man Khalil Mack, that's a
bird. Right, I'm telling you, man. Through. Which, speaking of which, you're probably going to see a big game coming out of Mike Davis, too. A lot of checkdowns from Teddy B. You're going to see you saw Davis with 9 receptions last week in a PPR format. That's already, you're almost 10 points there to your 25 ceiling there with Davis. I think he could have another big game again this week.
Yeah, I'm going to be on the Bears side of things. David Montgomery is the guy that I'm keying
100.
In on this week. A couple prop bets, too, for him. Look, with Tariq Cohen out of the lineup, guys playing over 80% of the team's snaps. Obviously, that's something you want. Carolina, second worst run defense in the league. So he's going to get a lot of targets, a lot of carries today. In terms of, like, green zone touches out there, Montgomery is among some of the best in the NFL. So definitely a guy that he's already in my lineup. He ain't going. He's in Gorilla Glue in there. So he'll be there. And again, Bears on this one. I just think that this is a great spot for them. Remember, 3 extra days of preparation, too, for this one since the Bears played on Thursday night against the Bucks last week. Just a lot of things lining up for the Bears. So I'm going that route.
Can I interrupt you real quick? Do you like Nick Foles in this contest for a DFS contest? I mean, the Panthers are 12th at allowing quarterbacks to score on them, but through the air, they're kind of stingy, right? They're only yielding 226. But again, it's what you said. On the ground, they could be exploited heavily by Montgomery. They're yielding 133. But do you give Foles a shot there at 5,800?
When I did my initial builds, he was my quarterback. And then I saw Ryan Fitzpatrick was only 100 more on DraftKings.
That's so where I'm at, dude. Now I don't know where to go between Foles or I'll just make another one.
So the one thing, all right, so with Foles, what I found was pretty interesting. If, you know, you really like the Bears like I do today, you can easily do sort of a Foles Montgomery Robinson sort of Chicago
trifecta,
effect. And then two, you could even run it back if you want to go Foles Montgomery and then, you know, Robbie Anderson or one of the Carolina Panthers, because that's kind of how this game is likely to do. When we look at all these advanced analytics, Chicago is very good at keeping offenses off the field. They just kind of get them off there real quick.
And then they grind the clock down.
Right. They get hit with the big pass. So, again, that's what works for Chicago today. If, you know, the way that Carolina is going to have to do well against Chicago is keeping that defense on the field. And Chicago's defense is really good at getting off the field. So, if anything, you got to go with the wide receiver you think can hit the home run for Carolina. For me, that's Robbie Anderson. So, obviously, mostly Chicago in this one.
All right, I'm liking it, man. I started teasing a little bit of Broncos and Patriots. Drew Lock, it looks like he's actually going to get the start. He's suiting up, but no Melvin Gordon. So without Melvin Gordon, who steps in? It's Philip Lindsay. You could probably get a nice little heavy percentage. I believe there's probably going to be about 25 to maybe 30 ownership percentage on Lindsay here, especially with his price tag so low.
Good. I'm glad. Let the people have them, Wags. I can't go with them. I actually retweeted something from Mike Clay last night, and they showed the stats of when Lindsay and Freeman were the two backs. Their stats are nearly identical. Like, you can't tell the difference between one or the other. Don't forget, too, going to be going against a very tough Patriots defense. They got Stephon Gilmore back, so that means that, you know, Tim Patrick's probably going to get locked up in this one. It's going to be a tough day to move the ball. I don't think either team is really going to move the ball. I could very well see this being like a 17-13 kind of game, something like that. Obviously, no Noah Font for the Broncos. Yeah. That doesn't really
And that's Drew Lock's favorite target.
That doesn't really help them. Doesn't hurt them in the run game because Font is more of a receiving tight end. But again, it's just going to be a very tough day to move the ball. I absolutely love Drew Lock as a quarterback in the future. Just not today. We put him on the back burner for a little bit. But yeah, I saw the stuff with Lindsay. I mean, I looked at it myself and, I was like, oh, that's interesting. But I saw that tweet from Mike Clay and then just kind of did a little more digging in on my own. And if people want to go after that, go ahead. Now, I will say this, a lot of money coming in on the Broncos today. The biggest differential of the number of bets and the number of money coming in this week goes to the Broncos. So that part is very interesting. But again, I just think it's going to be more of a low scoring kind of clunky game rather than, the Broncos like really throttling it up on the Patriots.
Browns at Heinz Field. It looks like a nice little gloomy, partially cloudy day in Pittsburgh there in the Steel City. Pittsburgh's given 3. The over-under's 50 here. What do you like?
Wow. So my biggest flip-flop of the week, I love the Browns immediately, and now I kind of like the Steelers a lot. My co-host on the Taking Sides podcast, Paulie Shapiro, literally said to me last night, when are you finally going to, get it together with the Steelers? And I did. I did so much, in fact, that they're my defense in DFS today. Baker Mayfield didn't look great last week. And again, we popped up on the injury report with some ribs injuries. So this is an interesting sort of game because both teams are very good defensively against the run. So we're probably going to see the two teams, throw more at each other. But again, I think Cleveland's going to try to run the ball down Pittsburgh's throat, and it's not going to go well. When you look at, they're the third best run defense in the league. Last week, Miles Sanders had that huge 77-yard run, but other than that, he had 6 carries for 10 yards.
Yeah, so, not much.
And that big run that Sanders had, it was like an all-out blitz from the Steelers, and they just straight up missed.
Yeah, you only got to beat the first wave, and then you're done.
Yeah, so this is that's the defense that I'm rolling with in fantasy. Looking back at past matchups, Mayfield, he gets confused a lot by this Pittsburgh defensive scheme, gets sacked a lot. So I'm hoping maybe get a couple turnovers here and we'll try to go with it from there. But, yeah, I like Pittsburgh in this one.
All right, you already dressed down the Bears and Panthers here. One more game that's kind of just pumping off, at my charts. Not so much I have, heavy money on the line with it, but it's kind of got fantasy implications for me. The Jets and the Dolphins. My man, I'm rolling out the trifecta between Parker, Gaskins, and Fitzmagic. Talk me off the ledge here.
I absolutely love Miles Gaskin in this one. I've got him in, all my DraftKings.
Talk me off the ledge here.
Well, I can't.
Okay, all right. I thought I was just crazy for a minute there. I got 3 Dolphins in my lineup. I thought I was nuts.
Yeah, the one with Gaskin here I got, but the other guy that I absolutely, absolutely got in all my lineups today, Jamison Crowder, that's a matchup that I wrote about on USodds.com too. He's going to be facing, the guy's name's escaping me right now, but he, the slot corner there for the Dolphins. He's a backup, right? I need to throw this out there. He's a backup in the NFL, okay? He's had 78 targets thrown his way in his career. He's allowed close to 1,000 yards and 9 touchdowns. And he, this is a year and a half in right now. So One thing we know about Crowder, he's getting all these targets. I believe at least 10 each game so far in the three that he's played.
Yeah, so he's got 13 targets in the first game that he played, and then he missed the next two games, and then right. 10 targets, and then 10 targets again. I even said last week, I said even though without Donaldson playing, I think for sure even with Joe Flacco, who still lives with his mom, by the way, I still think that – no, I'm joking. I'm kidding. They gave me a look like, what the hell are you talking about? He does not live with his mom. I was joking about that. But no, even with Joe Flacco, I think Crowder's going to have an enormous day, and he did. He shelled out. He had 28 points. I think he's going to have another enormous day because of what you're talking about right now.
Absolutely. If you're going to attack the Miami defense, short, intermediate passes over the middle, that's how you get it done. And, again, the Jets have no resemblance of a tight end threat. So this is all Crowder today. And, again, of course, this is the Jets. They're trying to lose. Nobody wants to win games for Adam Gase. This is a team that will be coming from behind today. One thing that I found pretty interesting in this, a lot of money on the under in this one, and I think that's because you might see some rain in down in Miami today, but I haven't checked the weather yet today, but that's what I saw earlier in the week. So it was interesting to see that. So that's kind of what took me off Fitzpatrick, and the fact I think like literally everybody is going to have him at that price against the Jets.
Right.
But, yeah, I did the flip-flop. So instead of going with Lindsey, I went with Gaskin in this situation. And it becomes even more of a home run play if Jordan Howard's out again. Last week, they just sat him. He was a healthy scratch. So they do the same thing again this week. That means Gaskin's getting those goal line touches. And, of course, you know, pretty much all the work out of the backfield. Matt Breida hasn't lived up to expectations right. down there in Miami yet. So this is the Gaskin show for now. And if that total really is not going to be that high, then Gaskin's the guy that I'm looking at.
I like it. It's Bayonne Zone. It's Al Walsh. You can find him on Twitter at 14A.Walsh. He's the best in the business, and he's the reason why we have him every week, every Sunday, the obligatory go-to for the Wagner Wire and getting all the green that you need in your pocket. Hey, thanks, brother. We appreciate the time, man, but we got to let you go.
Yeah, I know. We didn't even get to talk about Packers Bucks.
I'll talk. All right, real quick. I'll give you two. I'll give you 2 minutes. I'll do poor clock management. 2 minutes. Go ahead. Two minutes.
No, good. Just real quick. Just one thing to know. I love points. The total jumped up 3.5. You know, from the open, it was at 52, and then went to 55.5. Think about this real quick. Packers coming off a bye. That's 7 extra days to prepare for Aaron Rodgers, Brady. They played on Thursday night last week, so that was 3 extra days to prepare for Brady. You give 2 of the goats extra time to prepare, we're going to see some points today, fellas.
I love it. I don't know if I want to have an Aaron Rodgers lineup or a Tom Brady lineup. That was actually a fantasy football question here on the Specs text line. We'll address that on the other end of it, man. Hey, Walsh, great stuff. Nothing but the best, man, as always. But poor clock management. We got to let you go, bro. All right, man.
All good, good, good.
There he goes, man. It is, again, you can find him on Twitter at 14A.Walsh. We're behind the time, so we got to jump off here and we'll get back to you just in a few quick moments. It's the Wagon Wire on 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. Stream live at hornfm.com. All right, that's going to wrap up hour number 2, but don't go anywhere. On the other side of it, we got the signature segment, Who Do You Love? That's right, we're going to be breaking down all of our favorite DFS matchups. Got to load that roster up. We'll also address some of your fantasy football questions on the Specs text line as well. It's the Wagner Wire on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. You stream live at hornfm.com.